work them longer.
Yeah.
Today is June 22nd, 2017. This Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee and Human Services. Today is a work session on Senate Bill 419 and a public hearing on Senate Bill 102. Before we get started, Ms. Ames, anything? Well, let's get started. All right. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 419. Ms. Ames.
Because we plan to do it. Do you want to say anything about 2334? Because we've had to carry it over.
No, I mean, it's
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 419 will be fresh in everyone's mind since we just heard the public hearing yesterday. Doesn't seem like the most efficient way to work bills, but it is the way. It creates a task force on health care cost review, charged with studying the feasibility of establishing a hospital rate setting process in Oregon. The Legislative Policy and Research Office is required to staff, and the legislative branch budget is expected to have some funding for those kind of task forces and interim committee work.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 419 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Steiner Hayward has moved Senate Bill 419 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the bill?
Yes, Representative Bueller.
Yeah. Chair, I'm going to be a strong no. I think this is a real step backwards. The Maryland Rate Setting Commission is a really flawed model, which is heavily dependent on billions of dollars of CMS funding, which I don't think that's going to be forthcoming for the state of Oregon. And in addition, this whole fixation on price setting is flawed at its economic core. And it's a direction that the state of Oregon shouldn't be going in. We should be focused on value-based payment methodology, where people are incentivized to keep people healthy and to deliver care as most efficient as possible. And there's not very many examples where this type of price fixing works in the long term. It'll mm-hmm. work in the short term. Then you create all kinds of unintended effects in cost shifting. So it's a big step backwards.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Steiner-Hewitt.
It's okay. I appreciate Representative Bueller's comments, and I, to some extent, echo his concerns, but I am going to support this bill. And while I know that the bill references the Maryland model extensively, I'm putting it clearly on the record that I have asked Senator Beyer if I can sign on as a co-chief to this bill, actually, because I believe that we really need to be examining this further. And he said yes. Because we need to look at a wide range of models for this, just as Senate Bill 934 will move insurers towards paying more for primary care, which Representative Bueller and I are doing together. This bill is a way of starting to look at how we pay hospitals. And do I think the Maryland model is the right way to do it? I'm not so sure that actually is the perfect way for this state. Do I think we need to take a long, hard look with some really good policy experts at how we pay hospitals? Yes, I do. And I hope to make it crystal clear that we will be doing this in a way that reflects a much broader look than just the Maryland model.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, are there any objections to the motion? Note that Representative Bueller objects to the motion. Motion carries.
Senator Winters is excused.
Oh, and Senator Winters is excused. And we'll have Senator Steiner Hayward, since you're going to be a co-chief, carried to the full, and have Senator Beyer carried on the floor in the Senate. And then Representative Noakes testified yesterday on the bill, so we'll have him carry it on the House floor. With that, we'll go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 419 and open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 102. Ms. Beyerle.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee. So this morning, you have a public hearing on Senate Bill 102. This is a bill that was part of the agency's Department of Human Services legislative concepts for this biennium. It establishes a mechanism and statute to allow the department to capture savings in the Adoptions Assistance Program. There's a federal requirement that savings that are accrued in the program get retained by the agency and used for certain programs. This bill puts that mechanism in place, and hopefully when we get to the child welfare budget next week, you'll see a budget action that facilitates the money going into that account. So they're here to tell you about the bill today.
All right, we'll pop Sherry Coons and Eric Moore.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
morning, Chair Rayford, Chair Steiner Hayward. My name is Cheryl Coons, and I am the Child Welfare Federal Policy Resources Manager, and I appreciate the opportunity to come speak to you today about Senate Bill 102 as Ms. Barley, sorry, I don't know how to reference, this is an agency bill and to establish an adoptions applicable child savings fund. The Fostering Connections to Success in Increasing Adoptions Act of 2008 expanded Title IV-E adoptions assistance eligibility criteria, and that new criteria is making more children eligible for Title IV-E adoptions assistance. It was a phase-in approach over time, and as in 2010, it started with 16 years old and older kids who were adopted, and now it's down to 2 years old, and it'll be eventually be, you know, at birth. If we're going towards adoptions, it'll really expand the number of kids that are eligible. That expansion is what's creating the savings to the general fund, because those children would not have been eligible for Title IV-E adoptions assistance but for this expansion. So it's saving the state general fund for adoptions assistance, and that savings must be reinvested into new or expanded child welfare services. And the services must supplement existing funds and cannot supplant or replace existing funds. This bill will allow the Department of Human Services to retain the general fund savings in a dedicated fund, allowing the Department of Human Services to reinvest that savings as required by federal law, and to ensure that the money placed in that fund has not been used at the end of the biennium and does not revert back to the general fund. And the savings are calculated on a federal fiscal year, and that's where we get into some of the issue is that it's difficult to calculate those savings at the end of a biennium, and we need to be able to carry those savings forward. So we believe this is the solution for the applicable savings that we need to spend, and will ensure the integrity and compliance of the federal law.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. You're just
here for
assistance. Yeah. All right, questions? Yes, Senator Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What do you anticipate spending this money on, and might that help us with adoption recruiting for non-family adoptions?
Senator Gelser, co-chairs, and yes, we have. One of the things we've talked about doing is spending it on actual child care for foster care, which would then help with recruiting in hopes of expanding the number of families that could come forward to provide foster care for our children, because that's one of the areas that we struggle with when we have working families. It's not something that we provide services for at this point.
That would be, and follow up?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a tremendous benefit. Is there a way that we could get a report back on what the funds are spent on, and just so that there's some legislative oversight on the expenditure of these monies?
And Ms. Barley, do you want to comment on what that might look like next week?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, Senator Gelser, definitely we'll be tracking this money as it goes into the account and having the agency report on what it's going to be spent on. And I believe in the plan we're working on for child welfare, we talk about what we would like to see them do with the money. I think 70% has to be spent on, can be spent on general child welfare activities, and it's the other 30 about post-adoption, post-guardian
yes.
services. So there are some requirements about where it can be spent.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Okay. And I think my concern is, I don't know if you've all read, but we get the kind of updates on some updates. And I know I was concerned recently received that kind of the annual report, and it had to do with contracts, especially for
a SPURF.
For SPURF, and it was like only 15% of the contracts met their metrics, so 85% of the contracts and 85% of the spending was not resulting in the outcomes that it was for. So I would want to make sure that as we're taking this money that we're getting more than a 15% success rate on the investment, and I would be concerned about having that money go into investments and contracts that clearly, based on the reports that we received from DHS, are not working.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank
you. Further discussion? All right. Questions? Nothing? All right. With that, thank you very much. And is there anybody else here to testify on Senate Bill 102? We want to bring back Kevin Campbell and Jared Mason Gear. We don't have Paul Cosgrove here for the trio. And I was a little disturbed you guys are sitting at opposite ends. I don't know if that's strategic.
Yes, we want to cover all the bases.
Okay, just making sure. All right. With that, I don't think we have anything else today. Ms. Byerly?
No, nothing else today. I'll be planning to meet next week and hopefully get the DHS budget done.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I would say you should plan to meet every day next week because we'll be doing DHS budget for at least 2 days, and then I think the other 2 days we'll have bills because we're at that point in session.
And Madam Chair, I had kind of asked this earlier, but will we have the opportunity to have these posted so we can
the
OHA budget was a surprise. It was like posted the night before and there wasn't time to read it before we were voting on those individual pieces so that we can know what we're...
Your analyst is fully anticipating on getting that out with enough time for review if all of the necessary things happen in a timely manner.
Sometimes we get hamstrung by the powers beyond our control, Senator.
I think you should be seeing some information hopefully today.
Okay, thank you very much. That would just be helpful so I'm not asking weird questions on the OJ budget last time.
No. All right, with that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing and adjourn the meeting. Okay, that makes sense.